Good morning, everybody. Well, today I've got you something completely different, and it'll appeal to some of you. It won't appeal to others of you. Now, I think we're all a big child at heart, and I very often read a lot of children's stories that I loved in the past, and I'm enjoying them now just as much as I did then. For example, I've just reread The Wind in the Willows. And today I've got you one of Rudyard Kipling's Just So stories. I thought perhaps some of you might have grandchildren staying with you, or you're caring for them because it's school holidays, and they might like to listen to it as well. And in his stories, he doesn't make any less that they're children. He uses long words and a lot of funny things, and I think children like things like that, a lot of repetition. And Rudyard Kipling, he was born in Bombay in 1865, and he spent his early years as a journalist in Lahore, and he made India the background of many of his stories. Of course, you know, Rudyard Kipling is renowned for his stories, and the chosen one today is The Elephant's Child, and I like this best because I like elephants. So this is The Elephant's Child by Rudyard Kipling. In the high and far-off times, the elephant, O best beloved, had no trunk. He had only a blackish, bulgy nose, as big as a boot, that he could wriggle about from side to side. But he couldn't pick things up with it. But there was one elephant, a new elephant, an elephant's child, who was full of satiable curiosity, and that means he asked ever so many questions. And he lived in Africa, and he filled all Africa with his satiable curiosities. One fine morning, in the middle of the procession of the equinoxes, this satiable elephant's child asked a fine new question that had never been asked before. He asked, "What does the crocodile have for dinner?" And everybody said, "Shh," in a loud and dreadful tone, and they spanked him immediately and directly without stopping for a long time. By and by, when that was finished, he came upon a cola-cola bird sitting in the middle of a wait-a-bit thorn bush, and he said, "My father has spanked me, my mother has spanked me, all my aunts and uncles have spanked me for my satiable curiosity, and still I want to know what the crocodile has for dinner." The cola-cola bird said with a mournful cry, "Go to the banks of the great grey-green, greasy Limpopo River, all a set about with fever trees, and find out." The very next morning, when there was nothing left of the equinoxes, because the procession had proceeded according to precedent, this satiable elephant's child took 100 pounds of bananas, the little short red ones, and 100 pounds of sugar cane, the long purple kind, and 17 melons, the greeny crackly kind, and said to all his dear families, "Goodbye, I am going to the great grey-green greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees, to find out what the crocodile has for dinner." And they all spanked him once more for good luck, though he'd asked them most politely to stop. Then he went away, a little warm, but not at all astonished, eating melons and throwing the rind about, because he couldn't pick it up. He went from Grahamstown to Kimberley, and from Kimberley to Karma Country, and from Karma Country he went east by north, eating melons all the time, till at last he came to the banks of the great grey-green, greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees, precisely as the cola-cola bird had said. Now, you must understand and know, O best beloved, that till that very week and day and hour and minute, this satiable elephant's child had never seen a crocodile and did not know what one was like. It was all his satiable curiosity. The first thing he found was a bicoloured python rock snake curled around a rock. "Excuse me," said the elephant's child most politely, "but have you seen such a thing as a crocodile in these promiscuous parts?" "Have I seen a crocodile?" said the bicoloured python rock snake in a voice of dreadful scorn. "What will you ask me next?" "Excuse me," said the elephant's child, "but could you kindly tell me what he has for dinner?" Then the bicoloured python rock snake uncoiled himself very quickly from the rock and spanked the elephant's child with his scalesome, flailsome tail. "That is odd," said the elephant's child, "because my father and my mother and my uncle and my aunt, not to mention my other aunt, the hippopotamus, and my other uncle, the baboon, have all spanked me for my satiable curiosity, and I suppose this is the same thing." So he said goodbye very politely to the bicoloured python rock snake and helped him to coil himself up on the rock. And he went on again, and a little warm but not at all astonished, eating melons and throwing the roundabout because he couldn't pick it up, till he trod on what he thought was a log of wood at the very edge of the great grey-green, greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees. But it was really the crocodile, O best beloved. And the crocodile winked one eye, like this. You'll have to imagine that. "Excuse me," said the elephant's child most politely, "but do you happen to have seen a crocodile in these promiscuous parts?" Then the crocodile winked the other eye and lifted half his tail out of the mud. And the elephant's child stepped back most politely because he did not wish to be spanked again. "Come thither, little one," said the crocodile. "Why do you ask such things?" "Excuse me," said the elephant's child most politely, "but my father has spanked me, my mother has spanked me, not to mention my tall aunt the ostrich and my tall uncle the giraffe, who can kick ever so hard, as well as my broad aunt the hippopotamus and my hairy uncle the baboon, and including the bicoloured python rock snake with a scalesome flaysome tail just up the bank, who spanks harder than any of them. So if it's quite all the same to you, I don't want to be spanked any more." "Come hither, little one," said the crocodile, "for I am the crocodile." And he wept crocodile tears to show it was quite true. Then the elephant's child grew all breathless and panted and kneeled down on the bank and said, "You are the very person I have been looking for all these long days. Will you please tell me what you have for dinner?" "Come hither, little one," said the crocodile, "and I'll whisper." Then the elephant's child put his head down close to the crocodile's musky, tusky mouth, and the crocodile caught him by the nose, which up to that very week, day, hour and minute had been no bigger than a boot, though much more useful. "I think," said the crocodile, and he said it between his teeth like this, "I think today I will begin with elephant's child." At this, though, best beloved, the elephant's child was much annoyed, and he said, speaking through his nose like this, "Let go, you're hurting me." Then the bicoloured python rock snake scuffled down from the bank and said, "My young friend, if you do not now, immediately and instantly, pull as hard as you can, it is in my opinion that your acquaintance with the large patent leather ulster," by this he meant the crocodile, "will jerk you into yonder limpid stream before you can say Jack Robinson." This is the way that bicoloured python rock snakes always talk. Then the elephant's child sat back on his little haunches and pulled and pulled and pulled, and his nose began to stretch. And the crocodile floundered into the water, making it all creamy with great sweeps of his tail, and he pulled and pulled and pulled. And the elephant's child's nose kept on stretching. And the elephant's child spread all his little four legs and pulled and pulled and pulled, and his nose kept on stretching. And the crocodile threshed his tail like an oar, and he pulled and pulled and pulled, and at each pull, the elephant child's nose grew longer and longer, and it hurt him. Then the elephant's child felt his legs slipping, and he said through his nose, which was now nearly 5 feet long, "This is too much for me." Then the bicoloured python rock snake came down from the bank and knotted himself in a double clove hitch round the elephant's child's hind legs, and he said, "Rash and inexperienced traveller, we will now seriously devote ourselves to a little high tension, because if we do not, it is my impression that yonder self-propelling man of war with the armour-plated upper deck, and by this, O best beloved, he meant the crocodile, will permanently vitiate your future career. That is the way all bicoloured python rock snakes always talk. So he pulled, and the elephant's child pulled, and the crocodile pulled. But the elephant's child and the bicoloured python rock snake pulled hardest, and at last the crocodile let go of the elephant's child's nose with a plop that you could hear all up and down the Limpopo. Then the elephant's child sat down most hard and sudden, but he was careful to say thank you to the bicoloured python rock snake, and next he was kind to his poor pulled nose and wrapped it all up in cooling banana leaves and hung it in the great grey-green greasy Limpopo to cool. What are you doing that for? Said the bicoloured python rock snake. Excuse me, said the elephant's child, but Bido's is badly out of shape and I am waiting for it to shrink. Then you'll have to wait a long time, said the bicoloured python rock snake. Some people do not know what's good for them. The elephant's child sat there for 3 days waiting for his nose to shrink, but it never grew any shorter, and besides it made him squint. For, O best beloved, you will see and understand that the crocodile had pulled it out into a really, truly trunk, the same as all elephants have today. At the end of the 3rd day, a fly came and stung him on the shoulder, and before he knew what was he doing, he lifted up his trunk and hit that fly dead with the end of it. Vantage number one, said the bicoloured python rock snake. You couldn't have done that with a mere smear nose. Try and eat a little now. Before he knew what he was doing, the elephant's child put out his trunk and plucked a large bundle of grass, dusted clean against his forelegs and stuffed it into his own mouth. Vantage number two, said the bicoloured python rock snake. You couldn't have done that with a mere smear of a nose. Don't you think the sun is very hot here? It is, said the elephant's child. And before he thought what he was doing, he slooped up a sloop of mud from the banks of the great grey-green greasy Limpopo and slapped it on his head, where it made a cool, sloopy, sloshy mud cap that all trickled behind his ears. Vantage number three, said the bicoloured python rock snake. You couldn't have done that with a mere smear of a nose. Now, how do you feel about being spanked again? Excuse me, said the elephant's child, but I should not like that at all. How would you like to spank somebody? Said the bicoloured python rock snake. I should like that very much, said the elephant's child. Well, said the bicoloured rock snake, you and that new nose of yours will be very useful to spank people with. Thank you, said the elephant's child. I'll remember that, and now I think I'll go home to all my dear families and friends and try. So the elephant's child went home across Africa, frisking and whisking his trunk. One dark evening he came back to all his dear families, and he coiled his trunk and he said, how do you do? And they were very glad to see him, and immediately said, come here and be spanked for your satiable curiosity. Pooh, said the elephant's child, I don't think you people know anything about spanking, but I do. I'll show you. Then he uncoiled his trunk and knocked two of his dear brothers head over heels. Oh, bananas, they said, where did you learn that trick, and what have you done to your nose? I got the new one from the crocodile on the banks of the great green greasy Limpopo River, said the elephant's child. I asked him what he had for dinner, and he gave me this to keep. It looks very ugly, said his hairy uncle the boom. It does, said the elephant's child, but it's very useful. And he picked up his hairy uncle the baboon by one hairy leg and hove him into a hornet's nest. Then that bad elephant's child spanked all his dear families for a long time, till they were very warm and greatly astonished. He pulled out his tall ostrich aunt's tail feathers and he caught his tall Uncle Bear, Uncle the Giraffe, by the hind leg and dragged him through a thorn bush. And he shouted at his broad aunt, the hippopotamus, and blew bubbles into her ear when she was sleeping in the water after meals. But he never let anyone touch the Cola-Cola bird. At last, things grew so exciting that his dear families went off one by one in a hurry to the banks of the great grey-green greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees, to borrow new noses from the crocodile. And when they came back, nobody spanked anybody any more. And ever since that day, O best beloved, all the elephants you will ever see, besides all the ones that you won't, have trunks, precisely like the trunk of the satiable elephant's child. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I know it's not for grown-ups, but never mind. I enjoyed it. I hope you did. And there's a little short poem just to end, and Tim's ready to sign me off. It goes like this. I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. I send them over land and sea. I send them east and west. But after they have worked for me, I give them all a rest. I let them rest from 9 till 5, for I am busy then, as well as breakfast, lunch and tea, for they are hungry men. But different folk have different views. I know a person small. She keeps 10 million serving men who get no rest at all. She sends them abroad on her affairs from the second she opens her eyes. 1 million hows, 2 million wheres, and 7 million whos. Well, that's all from me for today, so I hope to be back with you soon.